Turn your Bible with me to the Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we will start. Cyanide, also known as a CN negative in chemical code, is a well-known poison that does not need to be taken in large doses. A drop of 2 is more than sufficient to kill a person, rather violent death. In 2003, Al-Qaeda, you guys know Al-Qaeda, they are the terrorist group, reportedly planned to release cyanide gas in New York subway system. But they chose to reportedly abort that strategy and plan because they realized there's not enough casualty to meet their needs. Nice people with a peaceful religion, don't you think? A tongue does not need to come up with a long speech. All he has to do is just drop a couple words, well-chosen couple words, to start the poison in one's heart. Let me make an example. Whom can I? Okay, Brian is here. We always pick on Brian. Let's say somebody came to me, Kirk came to me. Brian is such a nice guy. All I have to say, oh, really? And I walk away. Oh, really? 2 words. All of a sudden, I dropped that poison in his heart, in Kirk's heart. Okay, I said that Brian is a really nice guy, but Pastor says, oh, really? With a real negative attitude. And then now he's thinking, maybe Brian is not. He is a really nice guy. Okay, don't get it wrong. He's a nice guy. Get it? Okay? Don't ever question me. Yeah, really nice guy. It's not, oh, really, it's a really. Okay. Because the word poison, peace has been ruined between the relatives. Reputation has been blackened. And the friendship has been embattled and shattered. And life has been blasted into the place where there's no more turning back. It is so deadly that Jesus himself gave us a sternest warning against the speaking wrong way in the Old and New Testament concerning its use. Matthew 12:36, please. Matthew 12:36. Of course, if you have a red letter Bible, this is in red. I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Sovereign, isn't it? Every idle word we speak, we are accountable. Someday we're going to stand in the presence of God. Why did you say that? That's all, folks. You cannot do that. You have to give account to God. And it really gives a panic in our heart. Think about it. You might have said something negative to somebody or something negative about somebody like yesterday. And what about your lifetime? Right, your lifetime. So, what are these idle words? We need to define that. We need to learn not to do it. And we need to return to the Proverbs for this uncomfortable look at the wrong way of wagging our tongues. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so important for us to know your way, your direction. But we know that it is not going to happen overnight. Teach us today. And we praise your name in one accord as we sang, for you are great God, even though we are not. We are nothing more than wicked human beings. You are so gracious to us, full of compassion and mighty in love. Your word said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How often we grieve your heart by bickering with one another in gossip. We pray that we learn the terrible effect of our gossip and never to do it again. You teach us. And also lift up President Obama. We pray that he may come to know Jesus and turn his heart toward you. And praying for the people in the Congress and Supreme Court and all the authority in the government. The time is near. And we pray, praying for our troops, especially more troops that dispatched to go to the battlefield. We're asking you to keep them safe from the harm's way. And speaking of harm's way, we also lift up the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. And we are also asking you to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18 of chapter 10 in the book of Proverbs, please. Book, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Chapter 10, verse 18. Second half of chapter verse 18 says, whoever spreads slander is what? Fool. Exactly. And go to the next chapter, chapter 11, verse 13, please. 11:13. Talebearer that reveals a secret, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceal a matter. Talebearer is the one who spreading gossip. So gossip, let's admit it, we all love to hear it because it's juicy, right? We all love to spread it. It's in our genes, folks. It's in our DNA. Because we are desperately wicked above all things, as the Bible says. Gossip is a malicious circulation of false and exaggerated or even truth with a selfish, twisted reports about another person. I don't find any good thing in gossip. I don't find any good thing in gossip. We say it. Oh, I said that too. Many times. And then Holy Spirit jabbed me. Was it necessary? No. Then I have to repent. Some people make a good living by spreading gossip. If you don't believe me, just go to the grocery store. And go to the near the checkout stand. What do you see there? National Enquirer, Globe, The Mirror, and People's Magazine. They are all gossip magazines, tabloid. I hope none of you buy them. I hope none of you read them. Because there's nothing glorifying God. It seems as though we are living in a day of tabloid mentality. I've never seen a culture and a society so obsessed with gossip and innuendo and rumors from TV programs, magazines, social network, to name a few, the MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, and even the newspaper. If you remember, during the 2008 presidential election campaign, liberal news media all went out to find the dirt on Sarah Palin. They were not looking for truth. They were looking for anything to throw dirt on her. So they went out, they didn't check the source, they didn't verify the source, they even put the rumors started by liberal entertainers. The tragedy of this kind of journalism is that someone is charged with a crime today by media. They were tried and they were sentenced before they even go into the courtroom where they can possibly have fair trials with the evidence and facing accusers. Sadly, this kind of thinking can even enter into the church. When we hear something about someone else, immediately our ears perked up, right? But what does the Bible tell us to do? It says, love, believe the best of everyone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love, believe all things. Love believes all things. It doesn't say that love believes the worst. This means that when someone says something about a Christian brother or sister, we should not immediately have some disbelief in our heart, but rather we ought to believe the best of that individual. You with me on that? We must be very, very careful, folks, and many times we accept rumor as truth. Then to make the matter worse, what do? We repeat that with extra twist. One of the things the Bible says that God hates is the one who sowed the discord among the others, according to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. The six things that I hate, seven things. Let's go there, since I already mentioned it. Chapter 6 in Proverbs. Oh, it's better if I turn to the left, since I was in chapter 11. Chapter 6, verse 16. These six things that the Lord hates, seven are abomination to him. What is abomination? The God hates at the utmost way, okay? First one, a proud look. Second, a lying lips, a lying tongue. Circle the second one, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plan. Also, circle that. And feet, bless you. Feet that are swift to running to evil. And then sixth one is a false witness who speak lies. Circle that as well. And then here's a kicker. The one who sowed discord among the brethren. So far I asked you to circle three of them, and that all pointing to the discord. Sowing the discord. Everything to do with the tongue. Don't you think? See, one thing, I'm sorry, God hates this kind of thing. So this is the person who spread rumor and innuendo and who slander others. Let's talk about e-gossip. And some of you are thinking, e-gossip, is there such a thing as a word? And I made it up, so put up with me. It's going to be in the Webster's Dictionary, okay, so later. Whether you want to admit or not, the Christians are the worst offender when it comes to making up stories. Hear me. Internets are filled with made-up stories by Christians. God did this kind of miracle, and this Christian is blessed by God for this, and some unbelievers received God's wrath for this kind of thing. Are they really true? So what happened? And how the kinds of rumors and the gossip go around? By emails through Christians. How often do you get that kind of email in a day in your email box? A lot, right? And then, since it came from your fellow believing Christians, what do? Oh, it must be true. And so you forward it to all the people in your mailing list. Did you check the source? Did you verify it? No. I too get these kinds of emails almost every day. In most cases, I delete them. I trash them. And you're thinking, did you just say you trashed my email that I forwarded to you? Yeah, I did. I don't read them. Time to time, I read them. But when I read them, I send the email back to you guys. Did you check the source? Did you verify it? 9 out of 10, they say, no. Listen. If you send the email with the questions, concerns, and prayer requests, I always read them. And I always respond. You can verify circulating emails that some of them are true, some of them are not. There's two sources I'm going to show it to you. One is the www.snopes.com, not Snopes, Snopes.com. Snopes, is it Snopes? No, it's Snopes or Snopes, whatever. snopes.com. Another one is truthorfiction.com. Check with them. See if they are really true or not. Okay? Why am I asking you to do that? Listen. Let's say you got email that is not true. You didn't check it. You passed to somebody else. What are you doing? You're gossiping. You don't mean it. You have every good intention. But if you pass that one gossip from one person to another person, you're gossiping. You're being part of that. So don't. Please don't. When you find that you did gossip through email or passed false information, the only right thing is that you contact those whom you sent out the emails and let them know that you did wrong. You do that a couple times, probably you will stop forwarding gossip emails and uncheck the stories altogether. You agree? All right. Let's talk more about gossip. Some gossips are true. Absolutely true. But you have to wonder that why, what's the reason that for people to spread it. Even the revealing truth sometimes can be nothing more than a sneaky way to slander someone else. Private conversation aired publicly can cause irreparable damage. Not everything we hear should be shared. Not everything we hear should be shared. Please remember, whoever gossips to you will gossip about you. You with me? Let me say one more time. Whoever gossips to you will gossip about you. Let's go to Proverbs 17:9. Are you awake? Okay. If you're not awake, I'm going to make you to stand up. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Okay? So some of you may think now, at the time when the confidential information must be shared, yes. Again, absolutely true. It doesn't happen often, but there are times when it becomes a legal and moral obligation to share. It must be spoken. For example, let's say there is a man who committed adultery. So what do? You go out and tell other people. No. Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew 18. Let's say he is a brother in Christ Jesus. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sinned against you, go. Here's the first step. Number one, tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, here's the second step. Take with you one or two more that by the mouth of the two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refused to hear them, here's the third step. Tell it to the church, but if he refused even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or tax collector. Folks, by law, myself and people in our church, any of you, if you hear that there is a case of child molestation or child abuse, we must report it to the proper authority for the sake of the child. More than not, the difficulty that we all face is not with breaking the confidentiality, but rather keeping it. Listen, insensitive comments and thoughts that should be remained as thoughts, and a feeling which has no business being expressed, opinion carelessly tossed like a grenade into the crowd. These thoughtless words can harm more than anyone can imagine. And if you confront the one who threw this kind word bomb, thoughtless bomb, and cause a pain to you and others, and you, his response would be possibly, "Oh, I didn't know you would be that sensitive." Or they might say, "Gee, I didn't know you were there. Get over it." The gospel don't mind spreading until they become the receiving end of gossip. You with me on that? They like to talk about it until they are the one who is receiving the gossip. Folks, God's word has a strong medicine for those who careless wag their tongue. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of the words, the sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Chapter 13, verse 3. 13:3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. The memory verse for us this week, chapter 21, verse 23. 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Folks, the message is clear. We who dare to call ourselves God's ambassadors cannot afford the luxury of idle words to others. Gossip and slanders will not be acceptable. Excuses like such as "I didn't know you were there" or "I didn't think that you were that sensitive" doesn't cut it. That's a shallow, that's thoughtless, and downright wrong. When they come to, especially when they are the one who claim to be the follower of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He makes a peace. He does not break the peace. We have added the responsibility as a follower of Jesus Christ to guard our tongues. Here's three practical steps I suggest to purge the careless word from our conversations. Number one, never, never, never slander, especially mentioning about someone's outward appearances or handicaps. Okay? That handicap is not necessarily physical handicap or just, let's say, weakness. If that person is weak in certain part of the attribute, don't talk about it to somebody else. Number two, never criticize in public unless you have already expressed your disappointment with that other person in private. Now, this is going back to chapter 18 of Matthew. You know, remember the three steps? Go to that person and the second time with somebody else and bring it to the church. If the public reprimand is necessary and final, if that is would help that person do so. But you have to follow each step biblically. Thirdly, never say anything about anyone in their absence that you would not say in their presence. Insensitive slurs may be accidental, but they are not excusable. When I wrote this thing, I didn't think about it. This morning I was going over. The thought came to me. It's from the Matthew 12:34. You can look at it, just write it down. It says, out of abundance of heart, mouth speaks. Out of abundance of heart, mouth speaks. Sometimes we say that we blurt it out because that's in our heart. Let's talk about church gossip. Isn't that sweet? Church gossip. That never happened anywhere, right? Right. From time to time, I get a phone call from my colleagues, the Calvary Chapel pastors, or emails. They are absolutely disheartened. They are broken. Because their congregations just give them a hard time. And the congregation, or they're the one who is about to leave, or they are leaving, or they left, they continue. These people, these pastors are not gossiping to me and describing their name and all the who they are. They don't say who they are. They just describing the situation. It's their way of letting the steam out. As I said before, they are not telling, giving me a gossip, just simply describing the situation. Often when the believers choose to leave the church because they don't like, listen carefully, because they don't like what pastors do, not in theology. It seems that it is worse than a married couple going through a bitter, bitter divorce. They do everything they can to damage the church or the pastor. They gossip about the pastor and his wife, even children. And just about in every case, it never is their fault. It's always pastor's fault. The reason why they are leaving the church. And they try to take as many people as they can. They go around each people's home, they call, and then they, let's go somewhere else other than this jerk's church. When I was a member of the board of director for another Calvary Chapel, which is located in another state, I was part of the mediator. It was horrendous. The things they're picking on about the pastor. It was a nitpicking. It was a deceitful. It was downright unbiblical. And the pastor and his family was heartbroken. They poured their heart into these people's lives. I'm sure the Lord was not pleased. I had my share of that for the last 9 years. I need a favor from all of you. Okay? Listen. I hope you never leave our church. I hope you are happy here. But if you ever choose to leave a church, this church, because you don't agree with me, go quietly. Okay? If you have an issue that you want to talk about, come talk to me face to face. Don't run around talking behind my back like a coward. Talk to me in the face to face. I can take it. Let me say this. If I did wrong, I will apologize. I will ask for your forgiveness. And I will correct. I will do my best to correct. But if it's just difference in personal preference, okay? As you can tell, I like cowboy stuff. I'm a redneck cowboy. I'm not a real cowboy. I'm a drugstore cowboy. I just look good in that thing. Okay? I like this kind of thing. I like that kind of thing. So if it's personal preference, you can graciously overlook my Swedish cowboy look, okay? Or you can go quietly. If you really, my cowboy boots really bother you, you can go quietly. Don't go around and gossip about me that I didn't do. If I'm wrong in theology, come see me. Come talk to me. Okay? So far, in 9 years, I've been preaching over 600 sermons. I don't believe I said anything that caused problems in your theology. My conscience is clear. If you gossip about me as you are living and with a lie, you sin against God and sin against yourself. Let's think, T-H-I-N-K, before we speak. God will the message provide the perfect fuel for a gossip session and just the right ingredient for the slender slam. Exaggerate this detail and rearrange the fact and you got the perfect recipe will make the mouth water than the hot fudge in the rainy night. Gossip has one purpose only. It brings down the other person whom you are gossiping about. You might say, well, we need to pray intelligently. So I need to share this in confidentiality. Really, there's a Greek word for that. Hogwash. You got that right. So how do we restrain our lips from the gossip and the slanders? We cannot prevent others from gossiping, but we can stop what might start from our own lips. You agree? Amen. I'd like to suggest the simple formula applied before speaking about any person or any subject that might perhaps controversial. I have an acronym, THINK. My mama used to tell me, you have that gray period between your 2 years to think, not to just hang your hat on. T stands for, is it true? Did you check the source of gossip? H stands for, is it helpful? Does it build up the person whom we talk about or tear down? I stand for, is it inspiring? Can I put it against the word of God, and is it okay to say? Ask yourself. N stand for, is it necessary? Is it another idle word that I'm going to be haunted by that when I stand in the presence of God? K stand for, is it kind? If I was that person that I'm talking about, would I be happy with that story? If not, don't do it. If what you and I are about to say about others does not pass this test, we should keep our mouths shut. Okay, this is the good way to say shut up, okay? Then gossip will not go anywhere. At the beginning of the study, I said we will be accountable for this all this idle word. And throughout all this study, about half an hour, you're thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? And that's all you can think about. You have forgot everything I said. Folks, if you ask God to forgive you for that sin, it's gone. God has a total Green Valley moment on that thing. So don't remind him. That sin is no different than any other sin. God has forgiven you. Just don't make it another one. Let's make an application. Number one, don't be someone who spreads rumors. Don't be someone who spreads rumors. Don't be someone who gossips. It's wrong. It's sinful. It displeases the Lord. Okay? Second thing, a person who think by inch, talk by yard, should be dealt by foot in the rear end. That's my kind of talk. Yeah, this can kick. Third, before we say something about someone, think. T, Is it true? H, is it helpful? Is it I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Let's go back. T, is it? H, is it? At I, inspiring? N, K, he got that. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. You put the word and put the God in our mouth. The system formula you gave to us, I think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Let's think through that we may bring honor and praise and glory to you. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being so kind and so merciful to us. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.